it's disappointing for our team. Out of respect for Ryan, he's a great player, and I know how hard he worked to get back. Saw him spending a lot of time, a lot of hours in that training room, busting his tail to get back healthy. So disappointed for him personally, and then, you know, certainly for our team. He was a captain. He was a leader. He had a great presence in the locker room. And but that's football as we know it. The fact that he was injured the entire offseason did allow for Chris Clark to get a great deal of repetitions going back to the first OTA mini camp, training camp. That will pay dividends for Chris. I know he's excited about the opportunity. And I know offensively we're excited to have him in there.
Is there about any inkling of doubt in your mind when you know it's
no. It does not. Chris will do a good job.
You look about the cohesiveness of the offensive line when you lose a guy like Clady, and how long does that take?
Well, like I said, Chris got a great deal of repetitions, and you know, he was here the entire year. You know, last year with this bunch, and you know, OTAs and training camps and meetings. You know, he was the starter the entire time, and I think that can help us.
Peyton, what can you tell us about Winston Justice?
Not much,
yeah. The Raiders lead the league in sacks, Peyton, even though they don't seem to have like a, you know, a Von Miller type that leads the league in sacks. I take it they're bringing.
They can get the sacks different ways. They have some good pass rushers, yet they have, you know, multiple blitz package, and so it's important to, you know, being able to block your man and also know your assignment. I think communication will be pivotal against this defense.
Playing it two times last year, do you have a better personal grasp of what this rivalry means?
I feel like I do. I think I've always understood being an AFC guy, the division rivalries, and I've always was aware of what a big one that Denver and Oakland was. And it really feels like a new team from last year, at least from a defensive standpoint. You know, almost nine new starters. So, you know, last year's film, you just don't see the same players, so it's not quite as relevant and early in the season. But it's a division game, it's a home game, and from that standpoint, it's certainly a big game.
It's been nice to have a little couple extra days. These first three games, you've had a longer time to prepare than you would normally during a season. Is that nice?
Well, we were shortchanged from the first week, and so, you know, I think the NFL at least helped us even out a little bit. You know, that preseason to the Thursday night game is a cram session, so you feel like you're behind there, so at least you gives you a chance to kind of get on a little more of an even schedule. And, you know, it's nice to be back here at home.
When you guys play this high-tempo offense, and it's not just you, there's a lot of teams around the league. Is it a bigger mental challenge or physical challenge?
I think it's both. I think to be a good football team, a good offense, you better be on top of your game mentally. I think you find out real quickly who's not in shape. If you're out there on the field for long drives and, you know, guys are having to tap out, or, you know, guys can't sustain the same execution late in the drive as they can early in the drive. But, you know, football, if you're not into the mental, the cerebral part, it's usually going to show up at some point.
And I think Adam was saying last week that when you guys play that speed, there's a lot of pressure to get first downs, to not go three and out. Is that something you guys have found in these couple weeks, what it does to your defense?
Well, I mean, we want to stay on the field at any point. You know, three and outs or something we really stress on not having. And, you know, we had last week were self-inflicted. A couple of them were. And so, you know, those are mistakes that we need to correct to stay on the field, whether it's, you know, whether it's the third play of the series or the, you know, eighth play of the series. You want to stay on the field until you finish your goal of getting in the end zone. And, you know, I'd prefer if, you know, Patrick would stop letting Adam talk so much, you know, and wouldn't have to answer what he says. But until then, you know, it's our job to stay on the field. I can't speak for the other teams. Like I said, I know maybe y'all don't believe me, but it still comes down to just the execution. I mean, whether you huddle, whether you don't huddle, I really think it's irrelevant if you're not, you know, executing the play, blocking, you know, being accurate with the ball, you know, running good routes, doing the right things. And so that's what's here to stay, is execution of an offense. The ones that aren't executing, those won't stay. There will be changes made usually in each different program.
90 points in two games. It looks like it's been easy. That you're sitting back there and you've got so many weapons to choose from. It's just a matter of you just decide which open guy you're going to throw to on a particular.
Yeah, I mean, I would. It doesn't feel that way. I mean, it is work out there. We have prepared hard for these last 2 weeks. Adam and the staff have done an excellent job of getting us ready to play. And but this being a division game takes on more importance, and you do do more in preparation standpoint because it is a division game. And so that's really where it starts, is having good weeks of practice. And you know, you never know what type of game it's going to be each week. You know, it depends on what the other offense is doing, you know, plays on special teams. But, you know, our job offensively is to execute. And we have protected the ball well. That was a disappointing turnover last week because it was a good drive. And but we haven't gotten off to a good start, you know, two weeks in a row. That's something we can improve on. So there's still a lot of things I think that we can improve on and need to.
Hey, do you like playing up tempo
in the
huddle when you're
executing? I don't really have a preference.
You like playing on Monday night?
What's that?
Monday night football.
I do like it. Yeah.
Can you talk about why you like it?
Yeah, it's a great history to it. It's a great tradition. You know, I know the players are excited. You know, whether you're 16th year or your rookie year, it's an exciting opportunity in the NFL. And you're playing a division opponent at home. You know, it's the only game being played, and it's still a big deal when, you know, other players around the NFL are watching that game. I think that's an exciting opportunity, and I know both teams will be pumped, and I know our crowd will be rocking.
So, okay, Peyton, no one can appreciate teamwork more than you. Last night's flood relief fundraiser raised more than $1 million in 6 hours. What do you think that says about Colorado and this community? I know you're new to it, but...
Well, it says a lot, and it's been a you know, very difficult you know, situation for Colorado, and just a terrible tragedy for those that have been affected by these floods. You know, homes, lives, and you can't make up for the, you know, loss of life, or, you know, the loss of a home. But, you know, when a community, or like you said, a team, you know, comes together, you can make a difference and provide some type of comfort, some type of peace for those that are struggling. So it's hard to watch the news and to see, you know, the new reports. That is not what you want to see. But I do, you know, like I did last night, encourage folks to give something, monies, time. Whether it's to the Red Cross or whatever, you know, do something. And obviously a lot of people answered the bell last week, and I know that I was glad to support it, because I know that you know, they're going to use those monies to help the affected people.
Peyton, quick on Todd Helton, since we talked to you last, he announced his retirement.
Yeah. I'll be there next Wednesday, see his last game. So, you know, it's hard to just to put into short words, you know, a career of that long. But, you know, two things about Todd. You know, from his career standpoint, I'm not a baseball expert, but I do know in football, you know, something that's important, I think, is to earn the respect of your teammates and your coaches, but also your opponents. And I know a lot of baseball guys, and I've been in enough baseball locker rooms, and I know that Todd Helton has the respect of all of his opponents and peers, and that's a credit to him for how he's played the game. He's played hurt. He's been a tough player, consistent player, and so to do it for that long, it's like I said, I think sometimes when you just write 17-year career, it doesn't do it justice. I mean, you got to put it in bold caps and write it about, you know, 50 times just to realize how much work he put in. And then as a friend, you know, he was nice to me as a, you know, 18-year-old freshman, homesick freshman up there in Knoxville. Todd was a big star when I got there already, a Knoxville legend, you know, and so he took time to be nice to me, and I appreciated that. And then he's been a good friend my entire, you know, time we've known each other, almost 20 years. But a couple of years ago during that lockout, when I was in a strange injury situation, for him to get on the phone and call me and invite me out here to work out with the Rockies, and, you know, in private, and use the Rockies trainers, I'll always be indebted to him, because I was in a kind of a weird place and an unknown. I had really nobody to turn to, you know, medically because of the lockout. And what Todd did, that really kind of gave me some good direction. And I'll always be indebted to him for that. So I'm happy for him. I feel like he's at peace with it. I have communicated with him. Hope he enjoys these last games. And there won't be another one like him here. I can promise you that.